Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to look at the subject of kingdom prayers, and we are going to take one feature of kingdom prayer and talk about it today. So the subtopic is praying in the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus is an aspect of kingdom prayer, or I should say a feature of kingdom prayer. And I want us to take a reading from the book of John chapter 16, and then verse number 24. Now, I want us to understand that this scripture we are going to read is part of what is described as upper room truth. In the upper room, Jesus Christ taught his apostles some very important things for the first time. Or I should say, he mentioned for the first time some very important teachings, understanding. It was in the upper room that he explained the shedding of his blood as being the New Testament being initiated by the shedding of his blood. It was in the upper room that for the first time he washed the feet of the apostles. It was in the upper room that for the first time he pointed out who will betray him. It was in the upper room that for the first time he gave commandments, what he described as a new commandment. It was in the upper room. It was in the upper room that he promises the Holy Spirit for the first time. It was in the upper room that he did a lot of things for the very first time. From 3 years that he was working with the apostles, he said a lot of things for the first time in the upper room. It is the upper room that he sent Peter and John to go into the city, he said. And when you enter, you see a man carrying a pitcher of water or a pot of water. Says that, follow that man and ask him, that where is the guest room? I want to have the Lord's Supper with my apostles. So they did it. And then they prepared that place, you know. They call it the upper room. He said that there is an upper room. Go there. So he went there. Or Peter and John went there. They prepared for the Passover. The very last one, he said, I will not eat of it again until I do it with you in the heavenly kingdom. So the upper room is a very important place for kingdom believers. You know, I love it when we mention the upper room, because it gives us a picture of upstairs. You know, it's you elevate yourself above the normal place that all human beings are existing, and you go to an upper room or upstairs, and it was there that he taught these kingdom truths. If you read the book of John, chapter 13 to chapter 17, it is all a teaching that took place in the upper room. It ended with his high priestly prayer, where he prayed for the unity of all believers. Look at chapter 18, John chapter 18, and then verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron. He went out. He went out of the upper room. Okay, so that is an understanding you need to get, all right? That the upper room truths, they are kingdom truths. They are truths that is for people who have elevated themselves from the ground level where all human beings are living. And now we are going to live by a certain higher understanding, a higher truth. It was in the upper room that the Holy Ghost descended upon the church for the very first time. The upper room is very significant. It was in the upper room that for 40 days he was teaching nothing except the kingdom of God. The upper room is full of kingdom teaching and understanding. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 16 and then verse 24, we get an understanding that Jesus Christ is giving concerning prayer. He says in verse 24, until now, can we all say until now? Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Until now. So Jesus Christ takes these apostles to an elevated place, a picture of the heavenly kingdom. And then he tells them that until now you have asked nothing in my name. Wow. So how have they been praying? Until now, he says that you don't pray in my name. But the apostles were praying. Jesus Christ taught them how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. But now he takes them to the upper room and he tells them that up till now, you haven't done kingdom praying yet. So all the prayers that they have been praying, were not kingdom prayers, so to speak. They were not in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine, Peter, they were walking with Jesus and all that. You would think that maybe when they are praying, they say, in Jesus' name we pray. No, they don't pray like that. They just pray like ordinary ground level people. But now Jesus says that, I want you to pray in the name of Jesus. That is why when you take a prayer that, like the Lord's Prayer, you must examine it and see whether it is in the name of Jesus or not. You understand what I mean? In other words, take it phrase by phrase. It's not everything that is really in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus means that it recognizes Jesus. There are some aspects of the Lord's Prayer that doesn't recognize the work that Jesus Christ has done for us, because it's a prayer that was taught before Jesus went to the cross, before he elevated and changed our status before the Father. So you always have to sieve things in the Bible with what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, the result of what he did on the cross for us. You always have to sieve. Hallelujah. There are some people who think that they are very powerful prayers in the Old Testament, and actually they pray those prayers. They pray prayers like, Lord, if your presence doesn't come, don't take us away from here. They believe that that's a very powerful prayer. But Jesus is teaching us a high level prayer. He says one characteristic of kingdom prayer is that it is in the name of Jesus. What is it about the name of Jesus that makes a demarcation between the old and the time, that time in the upper room, when he said, until now, you haven't done that. But I'm teaching you a certain dimension of prayer. Now pray in my name. Now pray in my name. What is special about it? What is special about it? There must be something very special about praying in the name of Jesus. Must I say that praying in the name of Jesus doesn't, it's not a cliche that you add to your prayer. Like the conclusion of every prayer must be in the name of Jesus. You can say at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name, and not really pray in the name of Jesus. You can refuse, listen carefully, you can refuse to say at the end of your prayer, you can refuse to verbally say in the name of Jesus and still pray in the name of Jesus. Because praying in the name of Jesus is not words that you use at the end of your prayer. It's a mentality that you need to get. Once you have that mentality, then you have elevated your prayer to a certain level. If you are praying the name of Jesus, it glorifies Jesus. Hallelujah. It glorifies. If I say go and do something in my name, do you know what is happening? You go there and in my name to do everything. You know, as you do it, you are giving me glory. Hallelujah. It's powerful. As you do it, you are giving me glory. Because you are mentioning my name. Imagine you go outside a country, maybe somewhere in Nigeria, and everything that you are doing, you are saying, so to speak, and you are recognizing what. If even you don't mention my name, you are recognizing something that I have done. It's my, as it were, it glorifies me. So that is a prayer we need to pray. Kingdom prayers in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. The Holy Ghost actually came to glorify Jesus. Are you aware of that? Jesus himself said, the Spirit has come, he would glorify me. John 16, verse 8, glory me, for he will not take what is mine, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So, Jesus, as you exalt what Jesus has done, the effect of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, you know what I mean? You are in partnership with the Holy Ghost. Wonderful. The powerful prayer and the prayer that glorifies Jesus. That the Holy Ghost sees that, oh, the guy is thinking, he is glorifying me. I also came to glorify Jesus. So I am one with the person. I anoint the person. I make sure that whatever the person is in, it goes well. It's powerful. We should desire that, not so. So the apostles in Acts chapter 2, in fact, chapter 1 following, they were praying. They prayed. But they were praying where? In the upper room. And what were they praying? They were praying in the name of Jesus. And until now, in the upper room, until now, you have not asked anything in my name. You've been asking, but not in my name. Says that, ask in my name. And so they asked in the name of Jesus. And then what happened? The Holy Ghost came down unto us. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. I believe that praying to Jesus, the Holy Ghost will rush down. He will rush down. Acts chapter 2. Whilst they were in the upper room, in the words of Jesus, that they should wait for the promise of God. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost, and suddenly there came some heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. Of that. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire at each of them, and they filled. The symbol was upon them, but ultimately it's in. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other things. But I want you to understand that they were with one accord. And they were doing what? Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were in the upper room. What were they doing? They continued praying. They were praying kingdom prayers. Split the heavenly kingdom, and the Holy Ghost came rushing down. Kingdom prayers will make the Holy Ghost come rushing down to do what? When I say rushing down, I'm talking figuratively. He's already in you, right? These people, they were going to have him for the first time, rushing down from heaven. But the Holy Ghost is going to rush. He's going to move in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you are glorifying Jesus and what he has done. I love it when he says that the Holy Ghost rush. He's not a slow motion person. I tell you. And you know, the Bible says that they were seated. Where they seated? I believe that they were seated in heavenly places. About to pray kingdom prayers. Because when you sit down, the Holy Spirit will rush. But when you rush, the Holy Spirit will sit down into inverted commas. You want the Holy Ghost to move in you? You have to learn to sit down in the status that Jesus Christ has placed us in. He has raised us up together and made us sit together with Him in heavenly places, in the kingdom system, in an upper room, while we are studying the upper room, praying kingdom prayers. The Holy Ghost will rush to do whatever thing you want God to do for you. The Holy Spirit will start to move in you, will start to rush in you. Bible says, Jesus said that He is like a river that is going to flow out of you. He's going to flow out of you. He's going to rush out of you if you learn to pray in the name of Jesus. Not say literally in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer, but with an understanding of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us.
We're back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. Our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It simply means that you are praying as representing Him. I'll say it again. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means that you are praying as representing Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. You are praying as representing Him. You are praying as an ambassador of the heavenly kingdom on this earth. This earth is not yours. This world is not our home. We are aliens here. Just as an ambassador of one country like Nigeria, in Ghana, is an alien in Ghana. Ghana is not his home. His home is in Nigeria. But he's sent to Ghana to come and represent the nation Nigeria. That is what we are. When you are praying in the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ is just teaching us that we are ambassadors. We come from somewhere. We are representing somebody, representing Him on this earth. So we do everything in His name. That is what it means in the name. If you are doing business in somebody's name, it means that you are doing it as representation. Hallelujah. As if it's the person. Praying in the name of Jesus is praying. It is Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why I say that you can pray as if Jesus Christ is praying. Actually mention at the end of your prayer in Jesus' name. But God the Father knows. I'm asking Him to do something. He knows that so and so, this child of mine, has come in the name of Jesus. You come not in the name of Jesus, but you add the phrase in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer. Believe me, the Heavenly Father cannot be fooled. He knows I am in my Son's name. Jesus says that now I want you to do something. But I want you to pray now in my name. After the upper room truths, He was asking according to John chapter 18. And then His trial began. He went to the cross. And after 40 days, poof, went to heaven. Before then, He had taught us that you guys language, that you are to represent me. You are to represent me. You are to be witnesses unto me. Not witness of, there is a difference. Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ said one of his final words, you shall be witnesses unto me, or to me. To be a witness to something is to reflect that thing. Is to reflect that thing. That you are a witness to that thing. If you are a witness of, it means to testify of that thing. Witnesses to is deeper than witnesses of. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea is deeper than how we have traditionally understood it, like witnesses of. Witnesses to means that you bear his image. You reflect him. When we see you, we see Jesus. Witnesses of means you are testifying or talking of. That is what we do when we say, let's go witnessing with tracts. And we are going and say, Jesus loves you. That's witness of. What Jesus meant in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. What he meant is for us to be his reflection, his ambassadors. When you see the ambassador, you've seen the nation. In the name of Jesus means that you are praying as representing him, representing Jesus. Hallelujah. It's powerful, isn't it? Now we have to ask ourselves this question. When I am praying, do I pray as representing Jesus? Or I pray as representing myself? And then I'm just trying to deceive myself by saying in the name of Jesus. But it's not in the name of Jesus. It's in your name. You came to what you have done, how nice a believer you are, how you have forsaken everything and followed him, and other people have not forsaken him, and you are better. You understand? You are coming in your name. Oh, that is where you list all the wonderful things, how wonderful you are. Can you imagine? God cannot be deceived, though. You come not listing what Jesus has done, not with a mentality understanding of what Jesus has done, and then you claim, I came in the name of Jesus. No, you didn't come in the name of Jesus. You don't even recognize the status that he has put you in. He says that before this time, in the upper room, before this time, you have not been praying kingdom prayers. Now, I've brought you to an upper room. I've shown you a truth that is higher than what the ground level people, they pray in. Praying like men. Now, I want you to pray in my name. Let it be as if I am the one praying. Not as if you are the one praying. Because when you come to God in your prayers and you feel that you are a worse Christian and you haven't done your best, because of that, God is going to look at that to answer when you are full of doubts and this thing, will it happen? You are not praying in the name of Jesus. You are praying with status before God. You are not praying with Jesus' status before God. Hallelujah. It's powerful to pray in the name of Jesus. Then we put aside everything about us. And we say, I come. Because of the cross. Not just verbalizing because of the cross, but having this mentality. Being full of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then we will read verse 48. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then verse 48. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. Who is the man of dust? Who is the man of dust? Who is the man of dust? It's Adam. As was the man of dust, so are those who are made of dust. So now he's talking about some ground level people. Dust. They are not in the upper room. Says that as Adam was,
so are people who belong to the dust, who have not been elevated to the heavenly places. All right? They are not in the upper room yet. The second part is where I want to come to. And as is, please, can we say as is? The first one, he said, as was the man of dust, because he's past. Now he says about as is. Can we all say is?
Is.
It's a present tense rendition, not so. And as is the heavenly man. Who is the heavenly man?
Jesus.
Who is the kingdom man?
Jesus.
Wow. He's a man, but he belongs to the kingdom. He came from the heavenly kingdom. All other people came from the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As is the heavenly man, or as is Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. The question is that, who are those who are heavenly? Because we know the heavenly man, and we know the man of dust. But the Bible is ending and saying that, as the heavenly man is, so also are those who are heavenly. Who are heavenly? Who are the people who are heavenly? He's talking about us who have accepted the heavenly man. As who have the heavenly man living in him, in them. People who believe that they have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, and they have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son. They are those who are heavenly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love it. Because the Bible is teaching me something. That I can be a man on this earth and still be heavenly.
Yeah.
I can live the kingdom life. As is the king man who is before the throne of God in heaven, so are those who are heavenly. But they are on earth. They are on earth. That's talking about you and me. We are kingdom people. We live a kingdom life. We pray in a kingdom way. Just as Jesus is heavenly, so are we right now. We are also heavenly. So see yourself like that. See yourself as representing the heavenly. The heavenly man, I should say. Hallelujah. On this earth, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And then verse 17. The Bible says that herein is love perfected. Ladies and gentlemen, love has been perfected among us. Love cannot be perfect if it's coming from us. It is only God who shows perfect love among us. Love has been perfected among us. Who perfected his love among us? Who has shown us love, Church of the Living God? In this, singular, one singular thing shows that love, the love of God, has been shown in a perfect way to us. In this, that we may have boldness. He's not showing us that this now. He's showing us the result of God perfecting his love towards us. He says that the reason is that we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Because this is the love that has been perfected. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. As he is, present tense. So are we in this world right now. As is the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. In other words, the heavenly man and those who are heavenly, Jesus, and those of us who have Jesus in our hearts, we are one and the same. I'm not saying that you are Jesus. You understand my drift? Where I'm getting to, you are representing him so perfectly that as he is, so are you in this world. As is a heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. Same status. Nothing has changed. Hallelujah. That is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. praying, bearing in mind, with this mindset, that as he is in the heavenly kingdom, so am I on this earth. If Jesus Christ, his prayers are heard in heaven, so are mine heard in heaven. If God respects the prayers of Jesus, so does he respect my prayer. Because of what? Jesus. Because I offer it in the name of Jesus. As Jesus' prayer is not full of doubt, so are my prayers not full of doubts. Hallelujah. Amen. What does it make of us? It makes us bold before God. It makes us bold. Hearing his love perfected among us, that we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, he's talking about the day of judgment. Because there is surely a judgment coming. And whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. I'm not talking necessarily only about that judgment. In the Bible, in the way that scholars wrote the Bible, the day of judgment that refers to the final judgment is always in capitals. Check your Bible. This day of judgment is not in caps. Well, take it that it is the final day of judgment. But every day we have judgment. Every day there is a day of judgment. Every day we have to judge between going here and going there. Every day we have to judge between doing something and not doing something. Going to live here and not going to live there. Sending my child here or not sending my child there. Every day there is a day of judgment. It says that you can be bold in the day of judgment. Not just in the final judgment, but right now. When you have to judge between what you must choose, the husband you must marry and the husband you must not marry, the man you must marry and the man you must not marry, the woman you must marry, that is a day of judgment. And perfect love has been shown among us, that you can pray. You can pray in the name of Jesus, and you can do it so boldly that you obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.